Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm so glad you decided to tune in today. Jesus came as a healer, and he healed so many people, and he especially reached out to those who were broken. Now, maybe you're going through a difficult time. Maybe you're not. I hope you're not, but if you are, you could be older and physically suffering or going through a divorce, or maybe you're dealing with some depression, anxiety, fear, guilt, whatever it is. Jesus came to heal you, to touch you. And I pray that you will experience his healing touch as we go to the live preaching. Here's what I've discovered, that many people my age fell away also, right after confirmation. And there's people in their 40s, 30s, 40s, 50s, as I said, fallen away Catholics, and not just Catholics, Protestants that were brought up Baptist. They've fallen away because church isn't meeting their needs. Pentecostals doesn't seem to be working for them. Well, anyway, I've discovered that some, not all, of the fallen away Catholics, people my age especially, have gone to these very charismatic churches, non-denominational charismatic churches. For example, here in Houston, we have this Lakewood Church. You all know about Joel Osteen. He's my competition. And actually, we're all in it together. And you know, if you've ever been to Lakewood Church, and I have been, because I like it. I like the worship, the music, thousands of people. The preaching is very encouraging, and it's very good. And that's what people want. They want good news. They want excitement. They want something good. Not just to feel good about themselves, but truth. And many people go to these churches because really a relationship with Jesus is preached, and salvation is preached, and eternal life is preached. And that's what people are hungering for. So I wasn't finding that in the church when I was younger. I guess I just didn't hear it. But really, that's what our church is all about. It's about good news. And do you know, when I was in training in the seminary, do you know what the primary duty of a priest is? You know what they taught us? This is right from a document called Fulfilled in Your Hearing, based on this reading, a document put out by our bishops. They said that the primary duty of a priest, of a Catholic priest, it's not to preside at the sacraments. It's not to hear confessions. It's not to call meetings. It's not to raise money. The primary duty of a priest is to preach the gospel. It's to proclaim the good news to all the faithful. That's why I love being a priest, because it's the good news that revolutionized my life, and it's the good news that I want to proclaim to everybody, because it liberates people. It heals people. It sets people free. And unfortunately, and I'm not lambasting our church, but unfortunately, in some of our churches, people aren't hearing good news, and we're losing our young people, and it can be tough. And I remember there's a cardinal called John Foley, Cardinal John Foley. He said something very interesting about preaching. He said, get this, dull preaching ought to be a mortal sin. This is a cardinal in our church saying this. So nobody fall asleep. I don't want to have to go to confession, okay? So obviously, I'm not lambasting our church. I'm just simply saying that people want good news. And as I said, the good news, it's about eternal life. It's about a relationship with God. It's about the Holy Spirit anointing us and helping us. And this is what Jesus was proclaiming in the synagogue. He said, I've been anointed with the Holy Spirit to proclaim good news. Now notice, the good news is powerful. I remember I went over to Egypt, and I studied in Israel, Egypt, and Turkey and Greece. I spent some time over there learning the Bible. I was over there in Egypt. All these little kids would come up in Egypt, and they'd have their hands out like this. And they'd all come shouting this strange word, bakshish, bakshish. And that's the word for begging, you know, give me something. But literally what the word bakshish means is share the wealth. And the reason why I say that is because one of our Catholic documents is called Evangelii Nunciandi. It was written by Pope Paul VI. It says that You know, when we share the gospel, it's not a matter of us beating people over the heads with the gospel, with the truth, with the good news. Rather, he said, people deserve and have a right to hear the gospel. So when it comes to the good news, we're not trying to convert people or make people believe our philosophy. People have a right to hear this because it's eternal life. It's eternity in heaven with God. And how dare we withhold it from them? That's why the gospel is so powerful, because, again, you get reborn, you get revolutionized, and you become to understand who you truly are. And this is what Jesus came to bring, and it was so joyful. Can you imagine hearing him preach? So then he says, notice to his mission, notice to whom it's for. It's not to the high and the mighty. It's not to the religious and the righteous. Get this. He said, I have come to preach good news to the afflicted, the poor, the brokenhearted, captives, people that are mourning, the blind and the oppressed. And it's a mission of healing and liberation and change. Please try to soak this in. I think it's needy people, broken people, hurting people that get touched the most. This morning I was talking about grief, and some people had tears in their eyes. The people that had tears in their eyes had just lost people to death, and they were hurting. And that makes sense. The hurting people are the ones that are going to get touched, the ones that are brokenhearted. Jesus didn't come for those who had it all together. He came for those who were broken by life. And let me talk about that, because I remember when I first came out in ministry, you know, 19 years ago, I was out there, and I'd run around, you know, I was a lot younger back then, and I'd be preaching about conversion, and you got to repent of your sins, you know, and all that. And that's all true. But then I listened to you, and you wrote me letters about your life and emails, and I talked to you in the confessional, and I talked to you in counseling. And here's what I learned, that some of you are divorced, and it tears you up inside. Others of you are enduring a tough marriage. Some of you have had children leave the faith, and you're blaming yourself. Others of you are underemployed or unemployed. Others of you are married to alcoholics. It's driving you crazy. Codependent. Their behavior is affecting you emotionally. Others of you you have physical sufferings, terrible physical sufferings, arthritis, back pain, heart problems, all kinds of paralysis and different things. Others of you, you're grieving for the loss of a loved one, as I said. Somebody that you loved has died. There are single people here, young people, who are hurting because you're not sure where you're called. You're not sure who you're going to marry. You've been looking for the right person, and it doesn't seem to be happening. That's a real suffering. And then people are addicted. They're addicted to gambling and drinking and eating and sex and all these different things. And this is in the church, never mind outside the church. See, the church is kind of like a hospital where people come to receive healing. And Jesus comes to bring us the good news, to heal the brokenhearted. And, you know, I'd like to say this about being broken. You know, we all go through brokenness in life. I don't think being broken is all that bad. For example, I remember when I was a young man, I was standing on a fence and I fell over, and I fell on a tree stump and it broke my collarbone. I have never, ever felt pain like that in my life. It hurt so bad. My collarbone broke. I screamed and yelled. It was terrible. Well, the doctor fixed it. You know, it was in a sling and everything. You know what the doctor told me? He said, where that collarbone broke, it's going to be stronger than it ever was, right at the place of the break. You know what that tells me? Sometimes it's the brokenness in life that makes you stronger than you ever were. And don't be afraid of being broken. I can tell you an example from my own life. I was going to college, dating a young woman in my freshman year. We loved each other, and you know, at the end of that year, we broke up. And I mean, I was hurting, you know, speaking of breakups, and had a broken heart. You know that led to a conversion for me?
I came to God after that breakup because I was lonely and I was hurting, and we had done some things that I wish we had never done, and I needed forgiveness. And so it was my brokenness in life that actually led me to eternal life. The 12-step program, those of you familiar with it, Alcoholics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, whatever it is, usually people that get into that, into recovery, are people who have gone through some kind of a bottoming out experience. Maybe it's not a real dramatic thing. It could be, you know, you wake up somewhere, you don't know how you got there, or, you know, what happened that night, you don't know. That can be a bottoming out experience. But most of all, it's some type of a brokenness that leads them to recovery, to help. So I think it's sometimes the hurts and the storms. Remember what it was that made that eagle fly high? It was the storm of life. He didn't run from it, he faced it. He didn't deny it, he looked at it, and it lifted him higher. So don't run from your storms, don't run from the brokenness. God knows how to put you back together. How do you ride a wild horse? You know what they do with a wild horse? They call it breaking the wild horse. You can never ride them until they're broken. Maybe some of the brokenness is so that God can ride you. He can be in control instead of you being in control all the time. So in other words, your sufferings and the trials and the storms and the hurts of life, look at them. Don't run from them. Look at them and let them lift you higher. The Bible says in Psalm 51, a broken, contrite heart you will not spurn, O God. God likes the brokenness. This is what Jesus came for, to heal the brokenhearted. And then he said, I've come for the brokenhearted. And then he said, I've come for prisoners. Well, that's interesting. You know, my programs go into prisons. And I usually think, you know, people behind bars. Certainly Jesus came for prisoners. People that are in prison. But I think it's more than that. What about people that are bound, slaves, captives to fear and anxiety and doubts and worry and guilt and shame and addictions? Do you know that, you know, being human, we kind of get caught in all these different things? But Jesus said, I have come to proclaim release to captives. Now, tonight, and those of you watching by TV, this is a gospel message. This is the truth of the Bible. And I believe that any brokenness, any hurt, any addiction, anywhere where you're enslaved or in prison, can be healed. And a process of healing can begin right now. And I want you to have hope and to believe that Jesus has come for you and that the Holy Spirit in you will bring you grace. Those of you that are here, I want you to think about areas in your life where you're struggling. Could be a physical suffering, could be a fear, an addiction, could be anxiety, could be worry, you know. Could be shame. Maybe there's self-rejection, self-image problems, as I was saying, identity problems, whatever it is. I'm going to pray for you in a little while, and I'm going to believe that the Spirit of God is going to help bring you change and healing. And let's believe that the anointing will help you. So, you know, don't look at me like, well, gee, you know, how can that possibly happen? Look at me like, yeah, I trust Father Cedric. I trust in God. I'm open to this. And I really want the power of Jesus to touch me. So then that's exactly what Jesus came to bring, isn't it? Change, healing, mercy, new sight. This comes right from the Bible. Favor, release, freedom. See, I want to tell you that, and I've experienced this in my own life, change is possible. Many times, you know, we grow older and we kind of get set in our ways and, you know, get into the habits and different things, and we think, well, you know what, I don't know if I can change. I've changed enough, and this is probably it. This is probably all that's going to happen for the rest of my life. Well, don't limit yourself with doubts, or don't put limitations over your life. Jesus came to bring radical change to us, holiness, growth, maturity, movement. And that's what his ministry was all about. His ministry is continuing. People are changing all over the world. You're hearing the gospel. Faith is rising up in you. And I believe that change is happening in you just as you sit here. The Spirit of God has already spoken to you and will continue to speak to you. Speaking of change, I wrote a book, very positive book. It's called You Can Change. You can change. And I say that emphatically because I really believe in the power of God to change us. If you know anything about change, you really can't change other people. You know, you can try. They usually rebel. They resist it. Now, you might be able to change them a little bit. But I'm talking about lasting change. And even trying to change yourself, it's not through determination or self-motivation that you can really change, although you'll change a little bit. But lasting change comes from God. And that is the genius of the 12-step program, the surrender to God that comes, and then the change that comes. Well, let me move really quickly and say that I sell my book online. People watch it on TV. They go online and they buy the book. And there's two ways that you can buy the book. You can change. You can buy it standard shipping, takes 2 weeks, or you can buy it priority, takes 2 to 3 days. And I always kind of laugh when I get the email that says, you know, somebody bought You Can Change priority, because it tells me they want to change and they want to change now. And I want to tell you, you can change now, but it won't be complete. I mean, I'm praying tonight that there'll be a new movement, especially if you're stuck in an addiction. Maybe you won't change completely, but there'll be a movement forward. That's what God wants. He wants progression. He wants movement. He wants maturity. He wants growth. He wants this journey forward instead of staying stuck. So you can change. And that's exactly what Jesus came to bring, change. And so I love the fact that Jesus came and, you know, he brought healing and he brought change to so many people. And I really believe that depression, for example, can lift. I believe that attitudes can lighten, moods can brighten, and even physical pains can dissipate through the grace and the anointing of God. The context of this sermon, as I start to wind down now, and I'm going to pray for healing in just a minute. The context of this sermon, he was in Nazareth, do you remember? And you remember what happened after he preached this sermon? Here's Jesus bringing good news, and he's the anointed one, and he's the Christ. He's in his hometown, and they began to question him. They began to doubt and wonder if what he was saying was really true. And remember, not only that, they rejected him, and they tried to kill him. That's the kind, you know, what I want to say is, many people deal with what I call a root of rejection. They've grown up, they've heard it, well, you're never going to be as good as your sister. You're never going to make it like your brother did. You're never going to amount to anything. And as Norman Vincent Peale, who wrote The Power of Positive Thinking, he writes in his book, many people suffer from what's called an inferiority complex and this root of rejection. Like I said, you can never know who you are until you know whose you are. No wonder everybody's suffering from low self-esteem, body image problems, you know, feelings of inadequacy, because they don't know who lives within them. They think they're chickens instead of eagles. Well, anyway, Jesus was rejected. I have to tell you, my path to the priesthood has not been on the primrose path. I have had to face rejection all along the way. And anybody that, you know, you talk to Monsignor here, or bishops, or any priest that gets up here, you know, that in a public forum and you preach, you face rejection. People walk out on me sometimes, and sometimes I get these nasty emails, you know, about my preaching. I'm just trying to bring good news. I preach pretty well. I'm a pretty loving guy. But, you know, we all face rejection. I remember, for example, when I was in the seminary, this is one of the first places where I got it. And we all have to face it. Jesus faced it. We have to face it. Everybody has to face it. Now, I'm in the seminary. You'd think, you know, that the seminary would probably be the most inviting, open, gracious place. Well, you would think it would be that way, but unfortunately, it's not. For example, I was a first-year student. There was about 8 of us, and we went into it, and there were some fourth-year students there that were kind of territorial, and they weren't probably the most hospitable people that you ever want to meet. And I don't know if they were threatened or whatever, but I remember this. My first sermon that I ever preached in that chapel with all the scripture scholars there and all the students there and everything, I was very bold. And, you know, and I was preaching with authority and, you know, preaching with a lot of enthusiasm. I don't know what it was, but some of the students rejected me. They didn't want anything to do with me after that. Well, I remember after the service, you know, I kind of got some cold shoulders, and the evaluation not of my preaching, but at the end of that year, we all sat around, about 20 of us, and we evaluated each other. They spent like an hour on me plus, and they grilled me up and down. And I have to tell you, you know, when I felt rejected by them, I didn't play the game going to them, trying to, you know, pander up to them and get accepted by them. I said, all right, you know, if that's the way you want to be, I'm not going to jump through your hoops to get accepted. Well, anyway, I paid the price for it. I mean, they grilled me up and down. And I know what they were trying to do. They were trying to get me to leave the seminary. Right after that evaluation, I went to my room and I flopped on my bed and I had tears in my eyes. It was horrible. My own peers rejecting me. And as I lay there, I could feel the Spirit. Remember, it's the storm that makes you rise higher. And I felt this presence in me. And it wasn't this like this loud voice, but I knew that it was God. And I sensed the voice tell me, Cedric, you know, this is what I said to myself. Cedric, you know, you may leave the seminary because you're not called, but I'm not leaving because they're trying to make me to leave. The only way I'm going to leave is if God wants me to leave and if I'm not called. And what happened was I got strong and I faced the rejection and I faced the trials. And that's exactly what happened in the gospel after Jesus preached. The next day, the Bible says he went to Capernaum and preached the gospel. So maybe you've faced rejection in your life. You've faced some hardships. You've faced fears. You've faced people that don't understand you. Well, don't run. Stand firm. Because that indomitable Spirit of God, the anointing from above, lives in you. And you can face whatever it is, any type of storm. And not only will the storm not defeat you, but will lift you higher. Because as I said, folks, you're not chickens or crows or roosters or anything else. You are the children of Almighty God. I want you to experience the anointing now as I come to a conclusion. And those of you watching by TV, just sit where you are and relax. Why don't we do this? Why don't you sit up straight, take a deep breath in, let it out. Okay, good. Now just relax. I want you to close your eyes. Just relax. Is there something you're struggling with in your life right now? For example, rejection, loneliness, depression, anger, fear, anxiety, physical suffering, unemployment. Maybe you're grieving a relationship. Maybe somebody that you loved has died. You have a broken heart. Are you stuck in an addiction or a sin? I want you to think of one main area where you need healing right now. And now I want you to clench your fists around it. Hold it tightly. Go ahead. Physically do that right now. Whatever your issue is. And that represents you're trying to control it, you're trying to figure it out, you're trying to overcome it by your own self. So hold it tight. Now I want you to relax. Relax the muscles in your arms, your hands, and open your hands. And as you do, I want you to sense that you're giving that suffering, that issue, that brokenness to God. You're giving it to God right now. You're inviting God into your life more fully. And he's beginning a new work in you right now. Something good is happening. He's touching you. He's helping you. Change is beginning. The anointing is here. God loves you and he's with you. So in trust now, give him your suffering. If you're stuck in an addiction, give it to him right now. He'll free you. He'll set you free. Now, lastly, lightly close your hands, very gently. And that's symbolic of a new approach. God is in control, and you're allowing him to lead you and guide you. Just sit back now, rest in his love, let him anoint you with peace. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And Jesus said, today, right now, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live, live with passion.